Father, I thank you for this time that we focus on you, and I pray that your word would go out, that it would fall on open hearts and minds, that we would be attentive not to James, but to your word. God, I thank you that you have chosen me for such a time as this to proclaim this message, and I pray that I would proclaim it fearlessly and boldly as I should. We look forward to you working in each person's life that you've brought here this morning. We thank you for answered prayer, that we see your hand moving throughout the weeks and this past year. Continue to go before us as we enter into this time of learning more about you and putting you into practice. We give you the praise in advance in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's God's word that changes lives. So I want to begin this morning by just sharing a portion of the last chapter a portion of the last verses of the last chapter of the first book of the New Testament. Did you get that? So we're in the book of Matthew, the last chapter, chapter 28, and I'm going to look at the last couple of verses, 18 through 20. This is what we read. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age." That's our charge. That's what we have been commissioned to do. Just before the ascension, Jesus issued what has come to be known as the Great Commission. So I ask you the question, what is a commission? You know, from the dictionary, the word commission as a noun reads, an instruction, command, or duty given to a person or a group of people. As a verb, to authorize, send on mission. Or in this case, the Great Commission here in the Bible is a directive, or better, an authoritative command. When Jesus spoke these words directly to his disciples and indirectly to us, he was telling exactly what he expected while he was absent from us. The disciples took the Lord's command seriously, as should we. They went into the world, they shared the gospel of Jesus, and thousands upon thousands were saved by the grace of God. We see in Acts 17, their message was so powerful and their witness so effective that the critics of the city council accused them of, listen, turning the world upside down. That's what was going on with the followers of Christ in the early church then. Is that what's going on in the church now? Can that be said of us? Sometimes it seems as though what was given as the Great Commission has turned into what could be labeled as the Great Omission. When something's omitted, it's left out, undone, or neglected. Instead of taking the Gospels to the end of the earth as the Lord commanded, the church of today rarely gets the Gospel to the end of the street. Are we, as a church, doing everything we can to point people in the direction of Christ? And the overall purpose of Christ's little Tafahakan church is to make disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told to teach. We're to instruct and be making disciples. We're to tell the lost world what Jesus did for us when he saved us and what he can do for them if they will trust him as we have. It's not enough to just show it. We must also say it. Mark 16:15 says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." The word preach comes from a word that means to herald. If you're familiar with the Old Testament, we can turn to the story of King Nebuchadnezzar and those who were charged to worship a golden image of the king himself for about a month. And they were instructed, when you hear the music, worship the golden image that's been set up. And you know what happened? The people there fell on their knees and they worshiped some dead god in the image of a man for about a month. But it's in the same way that we're to be lifting up our voices to declare the King of all kings, gospel of grace, this good news. This is something we're supposed to be doing all the time. The truth is, we're preaching all the time. Every moment we live, we're preaching through our actions as well as through our words. We're either pointing people toward Jesus or we're pointing them away from him. We're either saying, he's my Savior and my Lord, and you need to know him too. Or we're saying, my relationship with Jesus really doesn't make a difference in my life. We have been commissioned to tell. If the Lord just saved us to keep us out of hell, then he would have taken us to heaven as soon as he saved us. If he had saved us just to worship him and praise him, then he would have taken us straight home to glory and we'd be worshiping him there right now. He saved us so that we would have a story to tell. And he expects us to tell the story. How well are we carrying out this command? As followers of Jesus Christ, we possess the message that changes people's lives for eternity. Jesus tells those who choose to believe to share a specific message. It's called the gospel. We're to go and tell the world about Jesus. And the message we're to share is very clear. Jesus came into this world to make the gospel a reality, and he did it. He came into this world to die on a cross, rise from the dead, to open a way of eternal salvation for all who will receive him into their life and living. Jesus came to this world as the Savior of man. It's proven all throughout the Bible. In Luke 19:10, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Mark 10:45, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. John 14:6 should be very familiar to us. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Hebrews 9:28 tells of the message that we have been commissioned to proclaim fearlessly and boldly. Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, that's been accomplished, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. He came to save us and to give us a message of salvation that we could and are to share with others. It's a message of hope to the hurting, of life and peace to the tormented. It's a message that every person in the world needs to hear. It's a message that has the potential to change every life eternally. In 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4, we see that Paul got it. He understood the importance of the message, and he shared it with others. He says, what I received, I passed on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised the third day according to the Scriptures. And we're to do the same. Sharing this gospel message is as easy as telling lost people what Jesus did for you and what he can do for them. Mark 5:18 through 20 tells of a demon-possessed man who was instructed by Jesus to, this is what Jesus said. This is the instruction. Go home to your own people. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away. He began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. That's it. Your testimony of how God has and is working through your life is the most powerful message, and God will use it to draw the sinner to himself. We're to be on mission for Christ. He tells us that we're to go and to teach the nations. In Mark 16:15, he says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." In Acts 1:8, he says, "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth." He's telling us very clearly that our mission is to every person in the world, and that our mission field is the entire world. Who knows? He may call someone from Christ Little Topahawken Church to leave this country and direct people to Christ in another area of the world. How cool is that? Okay. So he may not call you to go to a foreign land and tell the story of salvation. He does, though, expect you to tell it where you live. He expects us to reach out to all people, without regard of their past, of their lifestyle. If they're sinners, they're candidates to hear the message of the cross. If they're lost, they need a Savior. If they don't know Him, they need to. And we have been authorized and commanded to call them to Christ. When you look at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, there on the beach, looking at those unlikely men fishing, what did he say? He said, "Come, I'll make you fishers of men." And here, when you read the last chapter of Matthew, and you see all the mayhem that's going on around the world, and how people are lying to protect people and making up stories, Jesus says to his closest followers, "Go." The beginning of his ministry says, "Come." The end of his ministry says, "Go." How are we doing with reaching the world around us? Are we active in our Jerusalem? Burnville? Are the people of Burnville, are they saying, "Christ Little Topahawken Church, man, they're turning the world upside down"? Are we fulfilling the Great Commission? Or are we committing the great omission? Jesus doesn't send us into a lost world without any resources. He doesn't expect us to accomplish this great commission in our own power. The Bible tells us we're promised His presence. It says, "Surely, I'm with you always." When you're standing there sharing the gospel with a friend, that family member, or a total stranger, the Lord Himself is right there with you. He'll help you. He'll give you a boldness that you won't understand and use you if you will simply obey Him and share His gospel truth with others. You will never share the gospel alone if you're a child of God. He'll help you say what you need to say when the opportunity to witness presents itself. Acts 1:8 says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." When we're faithful to share His gospel message, we can be confident that God will use His message for His glory. He'll take our feeble words and He'll attach power to them. The Spirit of God will take our efforts and He will use the words we share to convict the hearts of those we have opportunity to talk with. in and of myself, I'm not a powerful witness. I don't really have a stunning testimony, but God chooses to work through me as I share what the Lord has done for me and what He has said He will do in His Word. He will put His power on my humble message and draw the lost unto Himself for salvation. He'll use us, you and me, when we make ourselves open, available, and obedient. We've been commissioned by God to take the message to the nation. The question that stands out is, will we? Let me sum this message up with God's Word. I'll open with God's Word. I'll close with God's Word. Romans 10, 14, 15, and 17. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Verse 17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. So church, consider yourself sent. Go tell someone your story and watch how God uses you to change the world you live in. Father, I ask that you would give us a boldness and a courage that only comes from you. Father, I pray that your word has gone out and that it has fallen on fertile soil, that it's ready to be watered, and that you will multiply it. And for that, we give you the praise in advance. God, will use this church in this valley, on a hill, wherever it sits, to be a bright beacon in this world. Today, tomorrow, and until you call us home or come again. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll follow the instruction of Psalm 96, 1 and 2. Sing a new song to the Lord. Sing it everywhere around the world. Sing out His praises. Bless His name. Each day, tell someone that He saves. That's what we have been commissioned to do. God, will you grant us a boldness to proclaim you until you come again? Let us not be ashamed of this gospel, but proclaim it to everyone that crosses our path. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed as you serve our King.